Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome back to Mind Pump, the awesome fitness comedy show brought to you by Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews. And today, a lucky listener is going to have me come to their house and cook them some pasta sauce.
Because Pafangulo.
I didn't know you spoke Italian.
Just that's sturdy one.
That's fucking great. So let me tell you guys what I saw the other day online. There was a meme, or as Adam calls them, Mimi.
Mimis. Hey guys, I saw this Mimi the other day.
He sends it. He calls us up on the phone.
Dicks,
guys,
bro.
It's so cute. Guys, did you guys see the Mimi I made? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, it's a Mimi. No, I'm like, meme? You mean you made a meme?
Yeah, meme.
Bro, it's spelled Mimi.
Or
so
a,
I say it.
Or meme. A mem.
Mimi.
A mem. So here's what I saw. I saw a Mimi of a dude doing barbell squats. Not a big deal. But he was standing on a physio ball.
Oh yeah.
Oh, great idea.
Makes a lot of sense.
I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about functional training.
Or core training, right?
Functional.
Can get like even more stupid on
So this end. This is such a good topic because I have to say I'm partially guilty of some of this.
You've done squats on a physio ball?
I have not gotten to that level.
Yeah, please don't own that.
Have not gotten to that level of ridiculousness.
Okay.
But I used to do a lot more training on the physio ball than probably what I needed to do. So, and I will.
This was back when you were training for Cirque du Soleil, though.
And
right?
If I sold you thousands of dollars of personal training in the past off of this, I'm sorry. And this is why. Here's the deal. And here was my pitch. Okay. Your transverse abdominis, your core muscle. Okay. Your core muscles are the most important muscles in your body besides your heart. Obviously, without your heart, you're dead. Okay. But that being said, if it's the most important muscles in your body,
well, that's involuntary.
Then focusing on it while you train becomes, huge, right? In comparison to anything else. So if I'm going to do just a normal bench press, why would I just do a normal bench press when I could do a dumbbell press off a stability ball
and
create more calorie expenditure because my body's having to stabilize on the stability ball and balance. And I'm incorporating 28 different muscles.
Contraction at the same time.
Yes. So I used to do this.
Adam, I want to buy 20 sessions right now.
Turn you into a fat furnace.
Let's just take that theory to the next level. Well, why don't you just do some fucking presses? Me and my friends are going to randomly punch you in the face and you don't realize what's going on. Do you know how many muscles you'll be using? Not knowing if you're going to get
hit. You
know what? And boom,
I think
hit.
They already coined that muscle confusion.
Muscle confusion. Yeah. I love that term.
So that being said, I think we both or all three of us know now that the science behind it is it supports the idea of us actually just doing some good old school deadlifts or squatting. You're going to get far more benefits core stabilization wise than you will ever by standing on a BOSU ball. So, but I also believe that there's places for it, and there's things that are positive about that. So if you have somebody who has a really hard time engaging their core, putting them on a BOSU ball, sitting, maybe doing curls or presses or something like that, forces them into upright posture because in order to stabilize on the ball, they have to stand upright. They have to erect their spine, contract their core muscles in order to hold themselves and stabilize.
Yeah, but what are they finding now? Wasn't there a study about standing on top of a BOSU ball and what that does to your ankles?
Oh, yeah. Your ankles are inverted now, and now you're creating another deviation by what you're trying to fix or what you're trying to progress in your core. So, yeah, no doubt. Well, it's retarded.
Well, here's where the rationale comes from. The rationale comes from the fact that if you're going to sit on this unstable surface or lay on this unstable surface, muscles have to activate to keep you balanced. Right. Is this true? Yes, it is true. However, just activating muscles does not mean that they're going to work in a functional way in everyday life. I'll give you an example. I could hook you up to an electronic stim machine. You know, the ones that you go to the physical therapist and they put you on the little thing that pulses your muscles. Just put those all over your fucking body. And now you're,
it's you've an got external all kinds of muscle activation. Contraction.
Right. Yeah. And what ends up happening is your muscles get really good at that one specific movement. And your body is very specific with its adaptation. So if you get really strong on a physio ball chest press, then you get really strong at a physio ball chest press. The carryover is actually less than if you did a heavy bench press, mainly because the bench press, you're going to add a lot more weight and strength than you would on the physio ball. Does that mean that there isn't a place for stuff, you know, the balance stuff? You know, yes, there's a place for it, but it's a small place. I don't think it should be the foundation or you know, the,
well, let me ask the you base guys, of your let program. Me ask you guys this. So, and here's how I train myself now, because I do find there is a place for it. But if it's replacing something that is truly more functional, like a deadlift or an overall squat or something like that, then I don't think there's a place for it. But if you can fit it into your program where maybe you do an exercise, a workout that is in an unstable environment, whether you're having to balance on one leg.
Or you're supersetting one unstable to stable type of a situation
or,
like that.
Or that, yeah.
I've done that before.
Yeah, where one exercise. So maybe you're doing a bench press and then you superset it and you go right over to, like, I'll do this on the foam roll. I'll lay down on the foam roll and bring it in a narrow stance. So actually I'm on a roll and it's going to do my chest flies. Mm-hmm. So I'll do flies right after I do like a, you know, a heavy bench or a heavy incline press. And then I'll do something like that. So, but it's normally one exercise at best that I'm incorporating into my routine.
Well, what's funny is we saw the evolution of this because we all started in the fitness industry before any of this shit. And then it came onto the scene and it was fucking everywhere. Yeah. Like every trainer was balancing on wobble boards and people were standing on one leg and they were doing physio ball everything. And there were Bosu balls and, you know, squishy pads and all kinds of crazy stuff. And then everything turned into stand on this unstable surface while you do curls or stand on this squishy pad while you do, you know, a shoulder press. Or
right.
Whatever.
It definitely exploded and people went crazy with it as far as even trainers like training their clients. And, I remember just seeing some really crazy stuff that other people would come in and start doing where I saw a guy actually balancing and doing a handstand on top of a dumbbell. And this isn't like up, down, upwards and downwards kind of.
So it's vertical. It's on the bell.
It's actually horizontal. So he's holding on to it so it could roll on him. Wow. Yeah.
And he's doing a handstand on it.
He's doing a handstand.
That's impressive.
It's great.
I mean, that's very impressive.
Dude, take that back to your Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then
I don't want to watch you break your neck.
So I blame the first phase of nerdy trainers in the last decade or so, decade and a half or so.
Why are you looking at me when you say nerdy?
Because you're one of the nerdy ones I'm blaming now. Actually, you wouldn't be someone like this, but it's a lot of these trainers that got indoctrinated by when it first came up, because like you said, we were around before this, before freaking stability balls, mm-hmm. TheraBands and all this, these great fitness tools that now are all over the place. So, and obviously people were in phenomenal shape before all this existed. So it's not like necessary to get mm-hmm. there. But then when it came out, you know, all it takes is a few studies that prove the benefits of it, that show this. Just like I said, that was my pitch, right? If you were to stand, okay, compare standing somebody and you're just straight bicep curling with a straight bar. And then you do that, do the exact same weight, everything exactly the same, only now you're standing on one leg. We could sit here and we could debate all day that I could tell you that you're burning more calories and more fat by standing on one leg than you would
perhaps
be.
Or perhaps not, right? Because the force that you're using is lower.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
You know, for people who are going to argue, because there's still people out there that debate this and say, no, the stability training is awesome. You know, standing on unstable surfaces is great. Here's my evidence. Okay. Let's just go back to the basics. Something that we know a lot about, barbells and dumbbells, right? We know a lot about barbells and dumbbells. If you had to pick barbells or dumbbells, I'm not saying you should, but if you had to choose one or the other just to build sheer strength and muscle, which one will build more muscle, barbells or dumbbells?
Dumbbells.
Barbells.
Barbells.
Really? I would barbells. Say dumbbells. Yeah. Tell me why you think barbells.
Well,
your grip? What's your theory on that?
Well, it's because of the load.
The load. And, you know, and I think most people will agree. You were supposed to agree with me.
Fuck no, me. I didn't. I was trying to figure out how you put that together, because I would think if... So, okay. So you're saying that you can load more, because if you were to tell me...
Dumbbell deadlifts versus barbell deadlifts.
If you did 300 pounds... with a barbell deadlift and then you did 150-pound dumbbells in each hand deadlift, you can't tell me that the barbell is more effective.
Barbell will typically build more muscle. It's the mass builders are usually barbells. The barbell exercises
because you can load it up more.
Who knows? I think that's part of it, but really we don't know what it is. But we do know that barbell exercise. Like if I give someone a barbell to bench, they're going to get stronger faster typically than dumbbells. It could be the control factor. I think instability is important to a point, which is why machines are not as effective as free weights. But I think once you go past a certain point, you get diminishing returns. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I get where you're going with it.
Well,
but
more stability wise, you don't really want to load a lot of weight in those types of situations, right? Well, so I think that's another point that like, you know, you don't want to stress out. You don't want, like, say it's the shoulders. You don't want to stress out the shoulders by adding more load, whereas you could with a barbell, and where you evenly distribute the force.
Right.
So now you have to, like, you know, you have to compensate for that, you know, one versus the other, whereas both simultaneously, you're going to be able to press it a lot more efficiently.
How about the argument, though, that I would say that I'm having to stabilize 150-pound dumbbells, and so the amount of stabilizer muscles and recruitment that I'm going to get to stabilize this dumbbell in comparison to the barbell is...
But you're still going to have to drop in weight.
Right, and that's the...
So I agree here. So yeah. I agree that if you're comparing just in general, but if you're comparing exactly the same weight... Then I would debate it the other way. If you told me 300 pounds barbell, 300 pounds.
But very rarely can anybody do the same weight.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So yeah. I agree there. So we can agree on that. But if you're in comparison though, I definitely know, and I can speak from experience where, you know, when I switch over to my dumbbell chest press and I start working a lot of dumbbell work, then I go back to my barbell, I see some really great
Right. And that's of course the variation, you know, changing the exercise.
I think it's like supplemental. Like, I mean, it's how I look at dumbbells and even kettlebells for the most part too, because it loads differently. So you're actually, you're trying to basically compensate for the way that the forces are, it loads differently. It's lower on you.
Yeah, the dumbbells behind your arm or in front of
your arm or in front. So
the weight is away from you. The lever's longer.
And the science is a little bit loose on that. I know they've done some studies on, like, say for instance, one of them I saw was for sandbags. And so sandbags, they were trying to make a case that, you know, whether or not it was more efficient to use a sandbag versus like dumbbells and doing like a basic sort of farmer walk with that. And they were showing that basically because of the way that like the mass of it had basically it was out wide enough to where not necessarily that you're having to compensate because the weight shifted or anything. It was just that it was more mass, and so it had more surface area. Your body actually, like your pecs and your arms actually had to contract more to help and contribute to that. So
with the sandbags
sandbags. So it's just different.
Because of the extra surface area.
So you actually utilize different muscles in the lift when you have different types of objects that you're moving. And so that's why it's important too.
What was the conclusion of the article? Is it better or with the sandbags versus the dumbbells, which one is more effective or?
Well, basically what they amounted it to is that it was different. So you got a different stimulus.
Ultimately, that's what it breaks down to. I think like we're talking about with functional, quote unquote, functional training is it's not that you should never do it, but the foundation, the core of your workout should be your basic, you know, barbell, dumbbell lifts.
Yeah.
And then you can supplement with all these different things and get great results. But I think especially in fitness, we have a real bad habit of a new technique coming out and then it becomes like the be all end all, like oh fuck weights, man, all I do is I use bands on the physio.
I mean, I have not seen so much warrior ropes since
the battle ropes.
The battle ropes are like, I mean, they've been around forever, and then just because they've become trendy, and I don't know if it's like
MMA
MMA or whatever.
Well, MMA is really involved with conditioning, so I think that's why they adopted that one.
MMA is all about, or you know, competing in wrestling. I mean, I was a grappler for a long time. And you're looking at being able to output energy on a high energy for a certain period of time. So 3 minutes. And for anybody who's ever wrestled, if you've ever wrestled your friend or you ever did in high school or whatever, you know how exhausting that can be. And so the conditioning is very different than, say, even boxing or basketball, football, or just lifting weights just to build muscle. You need to be able to train specifically for your particular sport. So I, you know, so with functional training, I think if you add that to your routine, that's fine. But I think the foundation of your routine should be the barbell dumbbell stuff. And that's the revolution I'm starting to see. I'm starting to see, we've talked about this, I'm starting to see more people deadlift and squat and clean. And I think that's awesome. Yeah. And you know what I'm seeing now?
It's a great trend.
I'm seeing more muscular people, know, whereas before there was a few muscular people and then everybody else was just like, whatever. I'm seeing more like dudes and chicks working out that look pretty impressive because, and I watch them and they're hanging out at squat rack doing all kinds of, you know, those basic lifts. I love that trend.
In the 15 years plus that I've been working out, I have never seen the utilization of squat racks like I have in the last 3 years.
I have to wait for a squat rack. Yes. I've never had to wait for
the
a squat
other
rack.
Day, dude, I was sitting. I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. I can't believe I'm actually sitting and waiting. I'm in the gym and I'm waiting to work out because I'm like, I had this whole idea of what I wanted to do today. And it was surrounded around squats and deadlifts. I'm like, Tim, of all the days that I just, and we got 6 squat racks at our gym.
You know what? We're fucking that up right now by telling people, okay, this is what you do.
Yeah.
This is what you go to the gym.
You should do nothing but leg extensions. Machines and stability balls all day long.
Do leg extensions and do physio ball exercises.
Donkey kicks, right? Are those popular right now?
That builds your glutes more than
more
deadlifts and squats
by donkey kicks.
So I think it's important to point out too that when we're talking about we're cracking on functional training a bit, it's what gets labeled as functional training that I think we're cracking on more than functional.
Yeah, because what's real? What does functional strength really mean?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I believe in multi-planar lunges. I believe in doing things in different planes. That's functional to me. Doing things that with weights that is challenging for you in different types of planes because our body moves in all different types of planes.
Well, I think the real definitive factor is that it amounts to you moving efficiently and moving. And being aware of your space in your body, so that proprioception. I want to be aware of my
what a great word
myself. Yeah, it's a great word because it just helps to kind of define like, okay, now I am more aware. Like I'm in control of my body. I can be efficient in my movement patterns, but you know I want to apply strength by adding these foundational lifts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the way I've always explained it to people when people have asked me is I said functional strength or functional conditioning means that all the gains that you see in the gym, all the improvements that you see in the gym translate to the everyday life. That's it. Very basic. If what we do in here makes what you do out there, whether you play sports or you're just, you know, an elderly client of mine and you want to be able to go up and down the stairs without assistance, if what we do in the gym makes all those things better, you've become more functionally strong. And I'm going to use another example with the word functional, flexibility. And I'm not going to go too off topic here, but you know, there's also something called functional flexibility. So we've heard about, we're all familiar with static stretching. That's the stretching we all did in high school where you sat and you hold a stretch or whatever. Nothing will make you more functionally flexible than doing stretches under tension like you will in yoga. For example, yoga instructors, when they do, especially when they strength train as well, they have very good functional flexibility, the kind of flexibility that benefits you when you're out and about and doing things. And so, again, functional means makes everyday life easier and better.
I would agree with that, but also I've been in my own sort of experimental, and I know like trends as far as the industry goes, like have moved slightly away from the static stretching for a while and moved more towards dynamic stretches.
Right.
Be careful there.
Yeah, well...
Oh, you know, I know where you're going with that, and I'm 100% with you.
Okay.
Guys like us with the carry decent amount of muscle who are tight as shit,
yeah.
The static stretching, I believe, has a big part.
Yeah, so anyway, that was just something I've noticed, like, personally in the industry and, like, you know, thought... I wanted to know kind of what your guys' opinion were on
that. I do static stretching before my workouts and because I'm very tight and I carry a decent amount of muscle and it helps me in my movements.
Well, why don't we talk about that for a second? There's three types of stretching, right? You have active, you have static, and then you have dynamic. And all three of them have a place. So an active stretch, you're typically only going to hold a stretch for about 6 to 8 seconds. The whole idea of an active stretch, this is pretty much just to warm a muscle up or get blood pumping into the area that you're about to go work.
So usually emulates like a movement you're going to do.
Exactly.
As far as the exercise.
Exactly. If you're about to go utilize your quads and hammies, you're just holding the stretch for a quick 6 to 10 seconds, like I said, and you're moving throughout all the muscles that you're just trying to basically activate, wake up, send some neurons over there, tell them, hey, let's get ready. We're about to work out. That's what you call an active stretch. Then you have what's called static or corrective stretching, which is what Sal's talking about, which that's where you want to address specific areas that are in need. So Let's say, for example, most people don't realize this, but the, over like 65 or 70%, I can't remember what the stat is where, when I read it last, but of Americans have upper cross syndrome, which is basically forward head and a contracted shoulder girdle. So all that means is you have forward head, your shoulders are rounded. So if you can imagine what you probably look like when you're sitting down at your computer or you're eating eating a bowl of oatmeal in the morning.
That's what I look like right now,
right
in front of this mic.
And it's just because we do everything in that plane. We do everything in front of us. We drive in front of us. We brush our teeth in front of us. We eat in front of everything we do in front of us. So what that does is it causes all these muscles in the front, your anterior delt, your pectoralis major, everything's becoming tight and it's pulling the body in this rounded position. So this is where static or corrective stretching comes in and is extremely important in order for somebody to actually
get... Well, you forgot self-myofascial release.
That is another part of, you know, corrective. So that would fall under the static.
Yeah, like or foam rolling, yeah, or, foam or, rolling even, or even deep
which
tissue.
Would fall under the same amount of time, which I'll say in just a second with corrective. So with corrective, you need to be holding your corrective stretch for at least 15 to 30 seconds. You want a good long hold because you need it actually to release the Golgi tendon, right? Is what the Golgi
tendon. Yeah.
So you need to hold that. That would also fall in the category, like Justin was saying, self-myofascial release, which is also foam rolling. So you're going to address these issues that are overactive, things that are super tight because you are in a position because of your posture or because like you might overtrain something a lot. And that muscle is super, super tight in comparison to its antagonist. So
I like to think of it as getting the muscle out of the way for an exercise. Like if my knees cave in because my calves are too tight, a nice static stretch. Yeah. Get them out of the way so I can do a proper
excellent.
Squat, right?
Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. So yeah. That's it.
Form.
There is another place where you're going to use your corrective strategies. You know that that's also the trainer in you that would pick up on something like that too. That's a little bit advanced for the average listener, but that's when you're taking your training to the next level is when you're learning about your body, understanding what's in balance in it. Because we all have it. I don't give a shit who you are, how old you are. And the older we get, the worse it becomes if you don't address it. So learning what's tight on you and then learning how to correct it and when to. And then you have your last one, which is dynamic flexibility or ballistic stretching, which is where Justin is saying is becoming more and more popular. I'm not as big of a fan unless it's somebody who's a little more advanced just because it can be dangerous. You're taking somebody through.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a beginner do that.
Yeah, the idea of dynamic flexibility or ballistic stretching is you're taking basically it's explosive stretch or you're taking the muscle through full range of motion in a dynamic movement. So it's a fast movement. Most of us remember doing this in like junior high school or.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it
circles.
Looks a lot like a track exercise, so yeah, you're doing leg swings and you're kicking really high.
Yeah, you're running and you're kicks. Kicking your butt with your heels to get your quads right in the dynamic stretch type of deal. Right.
So these are all,
but it's not necessarily ballistic all the time, but yeah.
Yeah. So these type of stretches is great to cool down. They're great also to warm up for somebody who already is flexible or maybe that has already started to stretch that out, open up and get it going to warm yourself up. It's not a bad idea either. But once again, I wouldn't teach stretching like that to somebody unless they're pretty advanced. But, you know, stretch with purpose. That's the main thing that you need to understand from this. If you're about to, I crack up when I see this. If you're the guy who likes to stack three or four plates on the bench press and you like to stretch your chest for the 3 minutes in between so everyone can look at how much you're bench pressing and all you're doing is relaxing the muscle that you're about to go work out, that's about as silly as you possibly can get. So do not go and stretch for long periods of time in between your, and long periods of time, I mean 15, 30 plus seconds on a muscle that you're actually in the middle of working.
You know, you want to hear what's crazy is I've been working out for a very, very long time. My warm-ups used to consist of a light set before my heavy set. Right, so I warm up now a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes before my workouts, and it consists of static stretches, myofascial release, and a little bit of dynamic. And I have to now. I've noticed I have to now. If I don't do it, I can't get into a deep squat with weight on me. You know, shit hurts and it's tight. And it's probably due to age and also probably due to stupid workouts, you know, as I was younger.
Well, let's be honest. It's really the age part of the factor is it's always been there. It's been an issue that one of us, and I can attest to this too, that you've needed to address and work on. And we've neglected it for so many years, you know, for 10, 15 years, been training and not addressing that. And now at being in our 30s and approaching 40 years old, your body's saying, fuck you. You do need to address this.
Well, one thing.
So at one point, everybody needs to, whether you're young and in your early 20s and don't think you need to right now. Oh, don't worry. If you continue lifting weights,
you will.
It'll let you know.
You will. And I've got a couple injuries to prove it. You know, I had a big ego or bigger than, well, it's still big, but it was pretty big back then too, where I hurt myself lifting too much weight and didn't warm up enough. And, you know, so
yeah, warm up is so crucial. I mean, and here's the thing. It is attached to the ego. And I think a lot of for men especially, like even when it comes to sports, like a lot of coaches neglect it. And I think that...
deer don't stretch.
Yeah, deer, yeah, right, exactly. Deer don't stretch.
That's another t-shirt.
This is a quote that, unfortunate.
Your high school coach told you that.
No, it was actually one of my college coaches.
Jesus.
At the collegiate level? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God!
That's how bad it was.
It's good to know that we have an opportunity for jobs though, if we ever
right. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest, but yeah, no. Seriously though, get outside of your. I want to impress everybody and make sure that everybody is cool with what I'm doing. Like, do your warm up, do your flexibility, and for me personally, like I do something that's going to emulate what I'm going to work out with, and take your time with loading the weight and as far as like your, yeah, move yourself up at a gradual pace. Don't just jump up to like the weight that you want to max out for that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see that all the time and it's just ridiculous.
Absolutely. I think just to bring it back to the original subject about functional training, just like with warm up, I think if you incorporate some of this stuff in a smart way with a plan, mm-hmm. you're going to benefit. But I think we can safely say nothing is going to replace or should replace your traditional barbell, dumbbell, compound movements.
Yeah, and a good easy red flag. If your trainer takes you over the corner with a Bosu ball and a stability ball and you spend the entire time doing those exercises.
Yeah. Well, look at the progression of what it is that you're doing. Like if it's the progression is for you to stand on top of a Bosu or a stability ball.
If that's your ultimate goal.
If that's
right?
your ultimate goal and to juggle and shit, God bless you.
Yeah, keep but it going.
That's your trajectory. That's what you're going to end up doing. Like do something that's,
The circus is hiring.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly, a circus.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.